Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But we'll get into that. Hey, real quick, as we wait for Nolan to get Kevin back on the phone, Maryland taking on Wisconsin. Wisconsin is really in a tough go of it if they lose to the Terps. All right, Kevin's back. Thank you, Nolan. And we'll get into that. Let's go to Kevin again. Sorry, Kevin, how you feeling?
I'm feeling good, guys. You know, 1-1 is better than 0-2, as Calvin always said, and that's where the Ravens are with that big Detroit game coming up in week number 3.
Now that you bring him up, thank you very much. Great segue. Kyle Van Noy is week to week with the hamstring, and we heard the Mike Green talk during the update here as he got a lot of snaps because of Van Noy's injury against the Browns, but we'll talk about him. But what about David Ajabo? I mean, the Ravens are going to need someone to fill that roster spot, perhaps someone to get at the quarterback, Jared Goff. So could this be an Ajabo opportunity?
I think it could be an opportunity, but I more so am kind of focused on Mike Green. It's essentially, you know, everybody climbs up a rung on the ladder. And I think for Ajabo, he would kind of fill in for, I guess, Mike Green. And Mike Green would kind of move into that much more full-time role. And Ajabo would kind of be situational and, you know, play a decent amount of snaps. Not a ton of them, but I think that the three, if Fenway has to miss that time, it, you know, that's something that feels like it's going to happen. If that is the case, then I think the three of Owe, and then you also have Tavius Robinson, you also have Mike Green. I feel decently confident in those guys. I think that, you know, Van Noy had a rough game against the Bills, but he's a guy that's a veteran and has been really good for the Ravens over the last 2 years, and he's going to be someone that you want on the field at all times. So, unfortunately, you know, the injury happens, but I've been really impressed with what I've seen from Mike Green. You know, you do have the depth in Ajabo. Maybe they call someone up from the practice squad on game days here as well. You can do that if you want to, but I think for me, Mike Green is going to be the biggest benefit. I guess, you know, he's the guy that's going to benefit, I guess, the most from the injury. You never want to see a guy get injured, but I think that we're going to have a lot of snaps from Mike Green over the next couple of weeks if Kyle Van Noy can't go.
Now, Kevin, the thing that kind of hurts is I thought Van Noy was playing great, you know, against Cleveland. I mean, he was dominating. He was killing that right tackle. I mean, just wearing them out around the corner, stunting back inside. Now, Mike Green, Mike had like one nice one, you know, where he had Joe's ankle and stuff, but he's rocking back. He's just not playing fast yet. His get off, his takeoff, he's got a much better takeoff than what he has shown so far. I still think he's thinking too much and, you know, maybe playing more and playing this week and, you know, will kind of ignite him, but it hadn't kicked in yet.
Yeah, and I think for a rookie, just rookies in general, sometimes that's what happens, where we know a guy has talent, we know a guy is maybe better than what they're showing, you know. And you saw in the rep where he almost got to Joe and, you know, literally was maybe an inch away from getting
his sack. Yeah,
he was going down and Joe just kind of flung the ball away. You saw that of like, okay, this is Mike Green. This is the Mike Green that we know is in there. And, I, you know, I'm not expecting Mike to, like, win every rep and go out there and perform that way as a rookie. But I do think that, you know, the difference between Kyle Van Noy and Mike Green right now is, look, Kyle Van Noy is a multiple-time Super Bowl champion. He's been there. He's done that. He understands, you know, the NFL game. And for Mike Green, it's kind of like, all right, now it's going to be his third NFL game. He hasn't necessarily played in every down role for a full game before, and you're going and playing, or I guess Detroit's coming to you, and you're playing a really tough Detroit team. It's going to be a really tall task. Not that he can't do it, but, you know, I think as a rookie, those expectations, you know, they can sometimes be daunting, and you know, Mike's confident. He understands the gravity of the situation, and I believe in him fully, but I do think that, you know, I saw conversations on social media like, oh, Kyle Van Noy is like old and he's washed. And, you know, I agree with you. I thought he played well before going down in that Cleveland game. That's something that you're going to miss. So I hope Mike Green can step up for him in the event he does have to miss some time. But, you know, it's a lot easier said than done, I think, for that.
Now, Kevin, would you agree that that's probably Roquan's best game as a Raven?
I would have to go back. Maybe his debut. I mean, he was great against New Orleans in that first game, but I would think that this is one of, if not his best. I'd probably say it was his best. And it's crazy because you look at the box score, he had 15 tackles and the touchdown and tackles for loss and all that. But it went beyond the box score, and his box score was unreal where, you know, he was stopping guys. There was one play where running back, it might have been Jerome Ford or Dylan Sampson, I can't remember who, you know, kind of cut to the outside on the left side of the field and had green grass in front of him, and Roquan swings him down for a 3-yard gain only after picking up the first down, and it could have been a lot worse there. And you could see the motivation he had. You know, he's a guy that, in my opinion, like, he's a great player, sometimes a bit inconsistent, and you know, that's kind of what the next step for him is. He has to solve that, and that's what kind of comes with being an $100 million linebacker, you know, someone that was traded for a second-round pick, and the Ravens gave that up for him. Those expectations are going to be there. Look, you're supposed to be one of the best, if not the best, inside linebackers in the game on a week-to-week basis. And this was the player that the Ravens traded for, the tenacity, the speed, the ability to make splash plays. He was flying around the field. Like, you could see every play how motivated he was. And I think the defense kind of got that wake-up call in week one. It wasn't just Roquan. I thought Kyle Hamilton played with that same viciousness. I thought other guys played with that same viciousness. And that's what they have to do week in, week out. You know, I don't want it to become for them. They have to use a loss to have that motivation and that viciousness. For them, obviously, it has to come week to week, and they have to keep that energy up for the rest of the season.
Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, the Ravens Wire, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. All right, Kevin, last thing for you. We look ahead to Monday night against Detroit. Ravens defense did their job against a Cleveland offense that was suspect with a 40-plus-year-old quarterback a week after getting shredded by Josh Allen in the fourth quarter in their season opener. Now Detroit comes in after Green Bay spanked them in week one, but they put 52 up on the Bears. So real quick, what Ravens defense shows up? What Lions offense shows up? Or how much does Zach Orr going to have to do with that?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I think it'll probably be in the middle for both teams. The Lions offense is worlds better than what the Browns presented to the Ravens on Sunday. And I think for, you know, that Lions offense, well, the Bears don't necessarily have that great of a defense. And I think the Ravens defense is a lot better than that. So I think it will kind of be the tale of kind of two Ravens teams, I would probably say, on Monday night. Now, I expect that game to really be really close and really fun. Obviously, the Lions still trying to figure things out without Ben Johnson, although they looked like they figured things out in week number two. So I guess that conversation is now over. But, yeah, I mean, look, Detroit's a really good team, and I think after that week one game, everyone was kind of saying, oh, all right, they're done. And that was obviously way too premature. So going to be a really good primetime game. We know that Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh, though, they love playing Monday night primetime games. So that is a good thing for the Ravens, but we're going to see how that all unfolds. Should be a good one.
Yeah, against NFC teams, they play well, too. All right, real quick, yeah. What's happening at Ravens Wire on this Turn It Up Tuesday?
Yeah, just continuing to finish analyzing what happened in that Cleveland game, trends, things to look for to move along for week three. You can apply there, and then obviously diving into that Detroit game and looking at all the storylines there.
Kevin, appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Turn It Up Tuesday. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Kev.
Awesome, guys. Appreciate you as always.
Here's Kevin Ostreicher. We'll come back. It's the Whip Around 11-15, two NFL games last night. We'll get to that. Orioles clinched the division on this date. We'll get to that. And a Hollywood megastar who was in sports movies unfortunately passed away today. We'll talk about that as well. Then it's Notes from the North.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.